grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Gracious, generous God, your Son gave his life that we might come to peace with you. Give us a share of your Spirit, and in all we do, empower us to bear the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Please be seated. Well, I'm glad I have two people here. I'm going to sit right between you. I'm glad I have two people because I really wanted to have more, but two is a good number.
Four and six is a good number for me.
Four and six? What does that make, four and six, if you add them together?
46.
46 or 10?
No, I got 46.
So it says in the gospel, the last line in the gospel today is, have salt. No, salt is good. But if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Have salt. So I want to ask you, salt is what?
Salt isn't salt.
But have you ever had French fries without salt on them?
No. Yeah.
Yeah, what do they taste like?
They taste like French fries.
Yeah, not very tasty, though. Not very good. Well, I brought some salt. So I want you to take a look at this, because Jesus says that we should have salt in our lives. So I brought some different kinds of salt. So I'm going to start with this one. And you tell me what this salt could be used for. What could this salt be used for?
Ice cream.
Oh, to make ice cream. All right. That would be good. That's a good kind of salt. Salt makes the ice colder because it's melting, and then you can make ice cream.
I think water can melt salt.
Yes, it can. Water, well, then it just makes the water salty, because salt goes into everything, so it makes it salty. Now this, can you read that?
No, because it's Japanese.
Yeah, I can't read it either. It's Japanese.
Yeah,
so that's why I have this written on the bottom. It is Japanese, but I wrote on the bottom what kind of salt it is. This is called sea salt.
That would be more ice cream.
Well, would you like to take a taste of that?
Yeah. I've already tried sea salt once because I got water in my mouth.
Not too bad.
Not too bad. So that kind of salt you use when you're cooking Japanese food. Like this is really good when you're making sushi and sushi rolls. So this is another kind of sea salt. And this sea salt, look at this.
Oh, those are big.
So these are like crystals. So taste one of those and see if they're different from that kind of salt. Are they different?
It's longer to melt.
And look at how big this salt is.
Whoa.
This is really big salt.
So I have to
twist it.
Oh, seems like pepper.
It looks like pepper because there's a little rust on that, I think. I think that's the deal. This salt, this is called sea salt flakes. And look at this. Look at how these, see, they're little flakes. You can taste that and see if that's any different. The reason I have this is really good when you sprinkle it on, like, caramels or on the top of brownies. It adds a little salt, and it melts really fast. It's really good to add something at the very end of cooking with salt flakes.
You have one more.
I have one more, and this one I brought a spoon because it's hard to get out of this. It doesn't shake out. So this kind of salt, look at this.
It's brown.
It's brown.
That's the most salt I've had in 3 weeks.
Okay, so this kind of salt says it is Salish. That's the name of it. Alder smoked. It's smoked salt. So this is the kind of salt you would put if you were going to do...
But it's not really smoke inside.
It's not smoking, but it's smoke flavor. And so this would be really good salt if your dad could use when he's doing a tri-tip out on the grill. This would be really good salt. So, okay, so Jesus says that we should be like salt, that we should add flavor. But now he's not talking about any kind of salt like this, is he? What do you think he's talking about? He's talking about us giving flavor, giving God's love in all different kinds of ways. We have all different kinds of salt because we're different kind of people. We're not all the same. Those people out there aren't all the same, but we all have salt in us that we can, and we have to write salt like this. What does that mean when we do
salt? Quotation marks.
Quotation
really?
Marks. Really? Like, salt?
And ice so, cream. It looks like salt, though.
Yeah, so it's all different kinds of salt. God, Jesus says, be salty. Give flavor. Give taste to the world by showing Jesus' love and his acceptance and his care for the world, that's our job too, that we should be salt for the earth. Be salt for the earth.
Are we going to go in the
same class? There's no Sunday school today.
Oh.
So you're going to go back and sit with your family. All right, so go back and sit with your family.
The first reading is from Numbers. The rabble among them had a strong craving, and the Israelites also wept again and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, all at the entrances of their tents. Then the Lord became very angry, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you treated your servants so badly? Why have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give birth to them, that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a sucking child,' to the land that you promised on oath to their ancestors? Where am I to get meat to give to all these people? For they come weeping to me and say, 'Give us meat to eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone, for they are too heavy for me. If this is the way you are going to treat me, put me to death at once. If I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my misery." So the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tent of meeting and have them take their place there with you." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the Spirit rested on them. They were among those who registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of his chosen men, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Why are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 19 responsively. The teaching of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the people. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold, sweeter far than honey, than honey and comb.
By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is a great reward. Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of a great offense.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
The second reading is from James. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for another, so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on earth. But he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if any among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Word of God, word of life.
Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose that reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you would be thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves, and be at peace with one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, I want to focus on the first few verses of this gospel that we just heard. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose their reward." I felt I needed to read that again because the last part of the gospel is so graphic that I wanted to get that out of your head while we put this other back into focus. So Jesus' close friends, his disciples, John being the spokesperson, come across someone who was casting out demons with deeds of power in your name, Jesus. They were casting out demons. They were relieving great suffering. They were following your example, Jesus, your example of care and love, and they were doing it in your name. Yeah, but that's not enough for John and the disciples. And why wasn't that enough? Because he was not following us. Did you notice the shift in pronouns? They say, we saw this person who was casting out demons in your name, but they were not following us. They weren't like us. They weren't holding the same traditions. Apparently, they weren't the right kind of follower of Jesus. They weren't like John and the other 11 disciples, ones that share their beliefs, who act like they do, who preach and teach in their style. They were not like us, therefore they must be stopped. John, the disciple who is reporting this to Jesus, is looking for Jesus' approval. He didn't ask the question, did we do the right thing? Should we have tried to stop him? No, he was just reporting and expecting to be approved. We tried to stop him because he was not following us. But Jesus does not approve. He corrects John and the others. Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will soon afterwards speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. Being a disciple is challenging work. Following Jesus is an important mission, an important way to live. Jesus tells the disciples, and us if we're listening, to accept the help of spreading the good news of God's love, wherever it's offered. And then he goes further, saying, for truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. What a small, paltry little example Jesus uses. He's gone from talking about great deeds of power to offering someone a glass of water. A simple gesture. And Jesus says that is surely enough to secure one's reward. In reading the commentaries on this text, I found that most of the commentary writers agree that Mark is retelling this story, this scene from Jesus' ministry, in order to help his community deal with some struggles or some internal conflicts that they're having. Now, we don't know where those lines were drawn, but there are dividing lines. Maybe it was between those who had suffered persecution for Jesus' sake and those who had gone away during that persecution but now want to come back to the community. Maybe the line was drawn between those who wanted to worship in one way and those who wanted to worship in another way. Whatever the lines were, we know that there were significant divisions in that community. And so Mark, the gospel writer, invites that diverse and conflicted community into Jesus' story, in order to reframe how they think about their lives and their commitments, their identity, and even their vision of what an authentic Christian community should be. And here we are, a couple thousand of years later, and things haven't changed all that much. Today, there is so much polarization in the church and in our society. Our current political climate flows over into theological and ethical conversations, or maybe I should say shouting matches or debates. Who hasn't heard statements like, you can't call yourself a Christian if you fill in the blank, if you believe Dr. Ford, if you believe Judge Kavanaugh, if you are pro-life, if you are pro-choice, if you didn't vote for this person, if you didn't vote for that person. We draw those lines. It doesn't take long to see that both sides are allowing their own convictions to serve as the criteria by which they determine whether or not another person truly bears the name of Christ. In other words, each side could easily say, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us. And all the while singing, all are welcome, all are welcome, as long as you don't disagree with us. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to promote anything goes. It doesn't matter what you believe. Believe whatever you want, idea of being a Christian. I do believe that God cares and cares deeply about how we live and about our politics. Martin Luther held the conviction that God is at work in our political and governmental structures that help us to care for God's people. But know this truth. God is not on one side of the aisle and not on the other side. Can our hearts be stretched enough to believe that God is at work in and through someone who claims the name of Christ but disagrees with us on an issue that's very important to us? Can we make room in our worship and in our circle of friends for those who disagree with us without labeling them? Can we stop, if only for a moment? Can we stop trying to convince someone else of why they are wrong? Can we stop condemning others because they do things differently than we do? Can we try to understand what has happened to others that shape their views? I recently started a new daily devotion book, and the chapter on Friday was titled, Behind Every Scar, a Story. The author encouraged listening to the story of the ones we find to be on the other side of the lines that we draw. Listening to their story rather than labeling. There just may be good ideas coming from persons who hold different perspectives and commitments than we do. Jesus asks, can we accept a cup of water from someone who does not follow us? I'm not saying that we should abandon our convictions, but maybe we should work harder, or could work harder, at trying to understand the other. Work a bit harder at trying to show respect for those with whom we disagree. Listen a bit harder for the truth in the story behind the scars. There are so few spaces in our culture today that promote real listening. Most times we listen to others, especially those we disagree with, in order to be thinking of our response, rather than really listening. We need to promote safe spaces where every person tries to hear the other, listening to hear the story, being respectful, and trying to see the worth and the dignity of those with whom we disagree. Can our church, can our congregation be such a safe place where people would feel free, safe to tell their story without being labeled? This is not easy, but this is what it means to live your baptism. We are called to sing a genuine, all are welcome. We are called to listen, to really listen to the story of others, especially those who are not following like us. David Loos, who's a former Lutheran seminary president, now a pastor and a preacher in Minneapolis, wants to rewrite these few verses of the gospel. He wants it to read like this. We saw some people, Lord, who were casting out demons, working for justice, advocating for those who lost their jobs and feel left behind, who were caring for veterans, protesting injustice, and so much more, and they were doing it all in your name. They do not follow us. In fact, we really disagree with them. But we did not try to stop them. And they gave us a cup of cold water. And that was pretty cool. Watching what was going on in Washington this past week opened hidden wounds for so many people across our country and across our world, actually. This gospel passage, Jesus' message of love and courage, urges us to listen, to care, to pray for one another, especially for those with whom we disagree. This holy table at the foot of the cross is indeed a safe place for all God's children. And we want to do, we must do, whatever we can to tell that good news that this altar is a safe place for all who need to find that safe place here in God's house, in God's family, where all are welcome. Amen.
Amen.